Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from the triune God. Amen. Well, as I sat down this week to look at the texts for this sermon, to prepare my sermon, on Advent 2, the traditional theme being the theme of judgment, I asked myself, when are we going to use our judgment in this coming week? And then, of course, I remembered Thursday. The theme of judgment runs through all the texts we have today, rather like Brighton running through a stick of rock. So the prophet Isaiah is writing at the time of exile, when Israel had been carried off and was held captive and ransomed in the land of Babylon. And Isaiah is longing for judgment. He is longing that the oppressor Babylon gets judged. And so he writes, "With righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." Isaiah is looking, if you like, for his own justification. And then we have the psalm. And in the psalm, the psalmist is asking that the king be the judge. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Well, in ancient Israel, it was the role of the king to be the judge. The king was the absolute monarch. For us, it's a bit different. We live in a representative democracy. We don't have a monarch passing judgment. In fact, we don't know what the judgments of our queen are. But we do have ourselves passing judgment. Judgment is our responsibility when we exercise our vote on Thursday. Will righteousness and justice be at the forefront of our minds on Thursday? And how will we judge in the secrecy of the polling booth? We also have Paul's letter to the Romans. In this letter, Paul gives rather clear instruction on the conduct of the early church. There is to be no prejudging of others. Paul writes, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God." In Rome, there were disputes between Christians, the Christians of Jewish origin and the Christians of Gentile origin, the Christians of the nations. And Paul writes against these disputes and antagonisms. He could actually be writing to our country today. Paul writes a sort of judgment itself. And he says, because Christ welcomes you, because Christ welcomes all, you in turn must welcome others. You in turn must welcome all. And then, in our gospel reading, we have the judgment of John the Baptist, a rather harsh-sounding judgment. The axe is lying at the root of the trees, he tells us. And he tells us to gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff will be burnt with unquenchable fire. Christians have often used these verses from John the Baptist to judge others. They can offer a narrow interpretation of faith and then with certainty proclaim that the other people are the chaff and that we ourselves are the wheat. So we go around judging, well, not necessarily, but in this order, but maybe nonconformists or those who are for equal marriage or those who are against equal marriage or those who are not holy enough, maybe because they've been divorced or they've been addicted. Certainly, we judge those who vote differently and, of course, there are then other faiths. You see, these texts can be very much used to judge others. We're the wheat, they're the chaff, God's on our side. But, let's go back to what John the Baptist is actually doing. John the Baptist is crying out in the wilderness, in the desert. And in doing so, he's echoing the experience of Israel wandering in the exile, journeying from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land. So what is the wilderness? The wilderness is a sort of in-between time, a time of wandering, a time of trekking, a time of struggling with the environment, a time of learning who we are and therefore learning also who God is. The wilderness is a time of rebellion, Several times the Israelites say to Moses, we want to go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. And of course they rebelled against God. They made those false gods, the golden calves. It's also the place where Jesus learns about his own vocation after baptism. He goes into the wilderness for 40 days. And through testing and temptation, he learns who he is, rather like the Israelites before him knew who they were. So when we notice, what we notice about the wilderness is there are not two groups of people. There's not one group who are in, there's not one group who are the wheat, if you like, and there's not another group who are the chaff. There is only one group of people. There is only one group of people, or there's only one person in the case of Jesus. We are simultaneously both in and out. We are simultaneously both wheat and chaff. It's not other people, if you like, who are testing us. It's us who are testing ourselves. We have within us both good and bad, both flourishing and diminishing, both wheat and chaff. In response to John the Baptist's call for repentance, the Greek word is metanoia. It is about literally changing our mindset. Simultaneously, I think we fail to respond, we sink into apathy and fear, and simultaneously we also engage. We do partially both things at the same time. Remember, John the Baptist was this kind of stripped down guy. He wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He is pared down to the minimum. He, if you like, is about stripping away the excuses for not doing the right thing. He says, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. A straight path. There's no longer going to be long grass in which we can knock the ball of procrastination off the path into that long grass. And the fact is, we will both respond and at the same time refuse the stripping down. We will both travel that straight path and seek the comfort of a diversion. We are simultaneously both wheat and chaff. We don't need to look to others to judge. We can judge ourselves. John the Baptist warns us about the unquenchable fire that stripping down involves. It is painful. Rather like when you have physiotherapy for our back or a knee, it's painful. If we have physiotherapy for our mind or our soul or our values, it also involves a painful stripping down. This metanoia is about, this repentance is about a challenge to our core beliefs and assumptions, about a challenge to our values and judgments, about a challenge to our securities and fears. It is a judgment of judgment itself. And it can make us whole, but only to use images of John the Baptist, it can only make us whole to that metaphorical journey through refiner's fire and fuller's soap. A judgment of ourselves is both painful and necessary. But if we let it be so, it can also be transformative.